Yeah, we have had a whirlwind weekend. We have been down to the cathedral in Miramar and been present at an ordination. We have been to a funeral in DeLand and sent off one of our own. And I will not say that this is the best church or we do it better than anyone else. The cathedral has an amazing dance team, and St. Barnabas Episcopal is a church from the 1800s that is absolutely beautiful. It's a glorious church. But I will say that there is no place like home. Amen. And it is definitely good to be home. But yeah, I was clicking my heels together a lot. And I think that throughout the course of the weekend, the other people who were in my vehicle were doing the same thing as well. But nevertheless, throughout the whole weekend, I was thinking about today. I was thinking about what I was going to say this morning. And time after time, the events that we went through made me think about this morning. And it's been a long time since we had an ordination up here. We used to do them all the time. We used to do them every November, back when we were over on the Arlington Expressway. But it's been a long time since we've had an ordination here. And I remember getting to the point where I was really excited about this ordination for one particular moment in the ordination. We were ordaining a deacon to be a priest. And there is an element in the ordination of someone to the priesthood that doesn't happen in a diaconal ordination. In an ordination to the priesthood, the deacon goes before the bishop and kneels down, and they bring all of the priests up to surround him. And all of the priests lay hands on them. And they pray for him, because the deacon is essentially the bishop's man. Okay, he serves the bishop wherever he goes. Now the priests do as well, but there is this idea that the priests belong to this brotherhood. It's the term is the College of Presbyters. And as you are brought into that group, the brothers welcome you in, and they pray you in. So at a particular moment in the ordination, they called all of the priests up, and we all laid hands on our brother, and we all prayed for him, and there were words that were given over him, there were prophecies that were given over him, and as we got to this point in the service, I began to think, I am really looking forward to this moment when all of these men who I've served with for a dozen years are going to lay hands on this new member of our order and pray this guy in. And I thought about this morning, and I thought, this is what we're doing. Because, as St. Peter says, we are all a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, right? He says this in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. Okay, so he says exactly that. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim his praises. The praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So, in a few moments, we're going to ask Carlos a few questions, and he's going to say them. He's going to answer them. Do you reject Satan and all his evil works? I renounce them. Do you turn to Christ? I do. We're going to ask him these questions, and you have all either answered these questions or had somebody answer them for you when you were a child, and at various different points in time, four times a year, we have all reaffirmed our baptismal vows, and we're going to do it again today. Do you believe in God the Father? Yes. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. We'll go through all of this again. I believe this. He's going to say it for the first time publicly. We're going to say it for God knows how many times. But we're going to all affirm it. There is a part of the service where we say, I say, you answer. Will you who witness these vows do all in your power to support this person in his life in Christ? And you say, we will. This is the parallel to all of the priests, you know, the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, laying hands on this priest and praying him into the kingdom. And this was an incredibly moving moment as Father Lon, Father Ed, Father Scott, myself, and all of the other priests in the diocese. There were two priests from beyond the diocese. There was a gentleman from the Bahamas. We laid hands on this brother and welcomed him in to the priesthood. Well, today, we're going to reach out our hands in the Spirit. We're going to affirm that we will pray for Carlos throughout our lives and uphold him in the kingdom of God. Even better, ain't the internet grand? This morning I went online to the clergy Facebook group and said, hey guys, this morning I'm baptizing a young man named Carlos. Pray for him. And somebody else said, hey, I'm baptizing someone else. Pray for him. And I got 15 priests to say amen. And at 15 different CEC parishes, and I don't know how many other ones that just didn't click like but are going to do it anyway, he's going to be remembered in the prayers of the people. Amen. So well beyond our parish here, the brothers, the chosen generation, the sisters, the royal priesthood are upholding not just Carlos, but all of us. Because this isn't just one moment. This is eternal. So after we went from this momentous, incredibly joyous, kind of long night, we went and drove to DeLand. And we went to St. Barnabas Episcopal Church to a funeral. And funerals are not normally festive occasions. Okay. Mm-hmm. They should be. Yeah. And this was. Amen. There was far more laughter than tears. Amen. There was far more laughter than tears. Because, one, Virginia had lived her life well. Amen. She had lived her life for the Lord. Amen. I assume that she died without many regrets. And we know that she was someone who had given her life to the Lord a long time ago. We know that she was someone who loved the Lord enough that she could bring people from different denominations together to worship together in ways that they didn't normally do. Amen. And ways that sometimes made them uncomfortable. Amen. And you know what? That was just how it was going to be. Because Virginia was still in charge. Amen. And the service, there were people who were cracking up. There was laughter. There was applause. Because we do not mourn as others who have no hope. St. Paul says, what shall we say then? If you are sons of God through faith in Christ. For as many of you were baptized in Christ, you have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are one. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed. We are his. Amen. If we have been baptized into him. Amen. So when we go through baptism, we're done with the old. Amen. We have become his. Amen. And having been his, we can say that we have been buried with him through baptism into death. Okay? We're done with that. We were baptized into his death. If we have been baptized with him, we have been baptized into his death. Like Jerome, Father Jerome, laid before the altar and died to himself, if we go through the waters of baptism, in a very real way, we drown in baptism. And God, as he did to St. Peter, lifts us up out of the waters. And we are a new creature in him. Paul continues and says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into the death, just as Christ was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. Because if we're buried with him, we're also raised with him. Amen. That's why there were no, well, there may have been some tears, and that's reasonable, it's understandable. That was a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother, a wife, a friend, and we're going to be parted from her for a short time. Because we know that we will see her again. And when we do, she'll probably have spruced up the place a bit. We will see her again. Because we know that she has a relationship with Christ. Amen. That she has been baptized into him. Amen. And because she died with him, she will be raised with him. Likewise, we who are baptized with him will be raised with him. So that in the last day we will stand together. So that we mourn for Virginia, because we mourn that we will not see her for a season. But when that season ends and we see our Lord face to face, we stand not only with Virginia, but with the great communion of saints. And that's why it is a phenomenally good day to bring new believers into the communion of saints on the Feast of All Saints. Because we're not just welcoming someone into our church, our parish. We don't just get to go to the book and write somebody down in the list of new members. This is someone who one day will sing around the altar, not this one, that one. When we say, with all the angels and saints and all the company of heaven who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name, one day, we will be singing this. Virginia's already singing this. And in a few moments, Carlos will be one of those company. Amen. This is a phenomenally good day. This is an incredible blessing. But we have a challenge. We have a challenge, and that is to remember our vows. Because the challenge doesn't end once the water gets sprinkled. Once you're baptized, it's not over. It does just begin. We have vows. We have something that we're called to in every Christian service where someone is blessed, whether it be a wedding, whether it be an ordination, whether it be a baptism, whether it be a funeral, we all ought to be challenged. We all ought to be blessed and encouraged by reviewing our own life. In a marriage, we ought to look at this couple who are so in love and so dedicated to each other and find our own marriages refreshed and renewed and be encouraged to pray for our spouses, to pray for the young couples, the newlyweds, and to do everything that we can to uphold them, to remember our own vows and what we can do to sustain them. In a ordination, we ought to remember, for those of us who are clergy, our own vows and what we can do to uphold them. But we ought to remember that the priests are the icons of all ministry. And that while they are called to share the gospel, to offer their gifts, to hear confessions, we're all called to preach the gospel, to offer our own gifts, to make confessions. We need to remember what we are called to do as Christians and to be reminded of what our challenge is, our call is, and to pray for our pastors and our clergy and to uphold them and their ministries. And in a baptism, we need to remember that we are called to pray for the newly baptized and remember our own baptismal vows. But we need not go through this alone. When we read Hebrews chapter 11, we see example after example after example of those who struggled and struggled and by their faith overcame. But we need not only confine ourselves to that one chapter. We can find the entire Bible full of men and women who struggled with their faith and overcame. Amen. And in that, we find ourselves surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, the communion of saints, and we can be upheld. And that is what we do today. We welcome someone in. We pray for them that they may be ever upheld by our prayers and the prayers of the communion of saints. And we find ourselves strengthened, renewed, refreshed, and upheld in that great communion of saints that forever stands before the altar, that by God's grace we will one day be a part of. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.